an extraordinary life. The one thing shows up time and again in the lives of the successful, because it's a fundamental truth. It showed up for me, and if you let it, it will show up for you. Applying the one thing to your work and in your life is the simplest and smartest thing you can do to propel yourself toward the success you want.
One life.
If I had to choose only one example of someone who has harnessed the one thing to build an extraordinary life, it would be American businessman Bill Gates. Bill's one passion in high school was computers, which led him to develop one skill, computer programming. While in high school, he met one person, Paul Allen, who gave him his first job and became his partner in forming Microsoft. This happened as the result of one letter they sent to one person, Ed Roberts, who changed their lives forever by giving them a shot at writing the code for one computer, the Altair 8800. And they needed only one shot. Microsoft began its life to do one thing: develop and sell basic interpreters for the Altair 8800, which eventually made Bill Gates the richest man in the world for 15 straight years. When he retired from Microsoft, Bill chose one person to replace him as CEO, Steve Ballmer, whom he met in college. By the way, Steve was Microsoft's 30th employee, but the first business manager hired by Bill. And the story doesn't end there. Bill and Melinda Gates decided to put their wealth to work, making a difference in the world. Guided by the belief that every life has equal value, they formed one foundation to do one thing: to tackle really tough problems, like health and education. Since its inception, the majority of the foundation's grants have gone to one area: Bill and Melinda's Global Health Program. This ambitious program's one goal is to harness advances in science and technology to save lives in poor countries. To do this, they eventually settled on one thing: stamp out infectious disease as a major cause of death in their lifetime. At some point in their journey, they made a decision to focus on one thing that would do this: vaccines. Bill explained the decision by saying, "We had to choose what the most impactful thing to give would be. The magic tool of health intervention is vaccines, because they can be made inexpensively." A singular line of questioning led them down this one path when Melinda asked, "Where's the place you can have the biggest impact with the money?" Bill and Melinda Gates are living proof of the power of the one thing.
One thing.
The doors to the world have been flung wide open, and the view that's available is staggering. Through technology and innovation, opportunities abound and possibilities seem endless. As inspiring as this can be, it can be equally overwhelming. The unintended consequence of abundance is that we're bombarded with more information and choices in a day than our ancestors received in a lifetime. Harried and hurried, a nagging sense that we attempt too much and accomplish too little haunts our days. We sense intuitively that the path to more is through less. But the question is, where to begin? From all that life has to offer, how do you choose? How do you make the best decisions possible? Experience life at an extraordinary level and never look back. Live the one thing. But Curly knew, all successful people know, the one thing sits at the heart of success and is the starting point for achieving extraordinary results. Based on research and real-life experience, it's a big idea about success wrapped in a disarmingly simple package. Explaining it is easy. Buying into it can be tough. So before we can have a frank, heart-to-heart discussion about how the one thing actually works, I want to openly discuss the myths and misinformation that keep us from accepting it. They are the lies of success. Once we banish these from our minds, we can take up the one thing with an open mind and a clear path.
Part 1. The Lies. they mislead and derail us. Mark Twain said, "It ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so." The Trouble with Truthiness.
In 2003, Merriam-Webster began analyzing searches on their online dictionary to determine the word of the year. The idea was that since online searches for words reveal whatever is on our collective minds, then the most searched for word should capture the spirit of the times. The debut winner delivered. On the heels of the invasion of Iraq, it seemed everyone wanted to know what democracy really meant. The next year, blog, a little made-up word that described a new way to communicate, topped the list. After all the political scandals of 2005, integrity earned top honors. Then, in 2006, Merriam-Webster added a new twist. Site visitors could nominate candidates and subsequently vote on the word of the year. You could say it was an effort to instill a quantitative exercise with qualitative feedback. Or you could just call it good marketing. The winner by a 5-to-1 landslide was truthiness, a word comedian Stephen Colbert coined on the debut episode of his Comedy Central show as truth that comes from the gut, not books. In an information age driven by round-the-clock news, ranting talk radio, and editor-less blogging, truthiness captures all the incidental, accidental, and even intentional falsehoods that sound just truthy enough for us to accept as true. The problem is we tend to act on what we believe, even when what we believe isn't anything we should. As a result, buying into the one thing becomes difficult because we've unfortunately bought into too many others. And more often than not, those other things muddle our thinking, misguide our actions, and sidetrack our success. Life is too short to chase unicorns. It's too precious to rely on a rabbit's foot. The real solutions we seek are almost always hiding in plain sight. Unfortunately, they've usually been obscured by an unbelievable amount of bunk, an astounding flood of common sense that turns out to be nonsense. Ever hear your boss evoke the frog in boiling water metaphor? That is, if you toss a frog into a pot of hot water, it will jump right back out. But if you place a frog in lukewarm water and slowly raise the temperature, it will boil to death. It's a lie. A very truthy lie, but a lie nonetheless. Anyone ever tell you that fish stink from the head down? Not true. Just a fish tail that actually turns out to be fishy. Ever hear about how the explorer Cortez burned his ships on arriving at the Americas to motivate his men? Not true. Another lie. Bet on the jockey, not the horse, has long been a rallying cry for placing your faith in a company's leadership. However, as a betting strategy, this maxim will put you on the fast track to the pauper's house, which makes you wonder how it ever became a maxim at all. Over time, myths and mistruths get thrown around so often, they eventually feel familiar and start to sound like the truth. Then we start basing important decisions on them. The challenge we all face when forming our success strategies is that, just like tales of frogs, fish, explorers, and jockeys, success has its own lies too. Phrases like, "I just have too much that has to be done. I'll get more done by doing things at the same time. I need to be a more disciplined person. I should be able to do what I want whenever I want. I need more balance in my life, and maybe I shouldn't dream so big." Repeat these thoughts often enough, and they become the six lies about success that keep us from living the one thing.
The six lies between you and success.
Lie 1, everything matters equally. Lie 2 is multitasking. Lie 3, a disciplined life. Lie 4 is willpower is always on will call. Lie 5 is a balanced life. And lie 6, big is bad. The six lies are beliefs that get into our heads and become operational principles driving us the wrong way. Highways that end as bunny trails. Fool's gold that diverts us from the mother lode. If we're going to maximize our potential,